Dread.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
PA and Charge. NFL Draft.
Football Feast.
9 to noon.
There are many, many positives I can get out of this game.
Time for two more.
The game is over.
Not much else to say.
How do you like me now?
And now for something completely different.
Hold on to your butts.
With the 30th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Mike Hughes, defensive back, University of Central Florida. Flowers to Valdez-Scantling.
You know, number one, we value cover guys here along with our pass rushers. This guy has the traits we're looking for.
Mike Hughes. With a head of steam. And Mike Hughes, the kicker to beat. Do you believe it? Knights take the lead on a Hughes touchdown.
You know, I do think the punt return and the kick return did play a big part of it.
He's a great guy. I mean, he came to work every single day that we had it.
A little more urgency. Davis tripped up. There's Mike Hughes,
and he's good.
Johnny come lately, the new kid in town.
Scouts like him at the next level, big time.
Everybody loves you.
Well, you're a game changer.
So don't let them down.
He can do a lot of things for a football team.
Oh, this will be a pick six. Mike Hughes picks up the loose football and will have an interception for a touchdown. And that will just about do it for UCF. In and out of the hands of DJ Moore, then 58 yards the other way for Mike Hughes.
As we sat there and watched the board unfold, he was the highest rated player on our draft board at the time. And the one philosophy that we've always going to do is follow that board to how we have it developed.
He's got the traits we're looking for. We feel like he can play inside or outside as a corner.
Vikings.
The new kid in town.
How do you like that?
Will she still love you?
Hold on to your butt.
A couple of them. Look out, pressure again. Ferguson goes deep again. The coverage, it's intercepted. Picked off UCF second today. And it's Mike Hughes. And Hughes gets into Memphis territory. That was bound to happen the way he's been playing defense.
Hashtag Big Radio.
After a pooch kick the first time, they will send it to Hughes, and he is in the open. See you later. They're not going to catch him. Did we say explosion? Bang, UCF.
The ability to get from point A to point B, I think we have an understanding of exactly what we're looking for.
These small miscues, it's just a disciplined football team.
Wow, what a great kick. It lands at the 36-yard line. And here comes Hughes again. Hughes to the 20. There are no flags this time, and he takes it all the way back. Mike Hughes for the second time. And this one counts. 66 yards.
I know also what he brings as a potential returner and what he does on special teams.
NFL Draft.
Where you been?
PA and Charge.
Everybody loves him, don't they? He's holding high.
All righty now. The Minnesota Vikings have a new kid in town. His name is Mike Hughes, cornerback, Central Florida. And we welcome you to the Friday Football Feast from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. It's PA and Charge, master mixer of Morning Montage and Eric Nordquist. A Charge who absolutely blew me away as we were departing U.S. Bank Stadium following 3 hours, 45 minutes of draft-related radio. For the producer of 9 to Noon, Eric Nordquist, a Mike Hughes fan, for somewhere in the neighborhood of a month and a half, maybe 2 months, so excited the Vikings drafted Mike Hughes, he compared him to Deion Sanders.
Yes!
And
very comparable.
The
prove me wrong.
The premise was, I mean, it's like he said it, and then I'm like, okay. And then he said, did Zimmer not coach Deion Sanders to a Super Bowl victory? Does the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings not know what a Deion Sanders type looks like?
Right.
And I'm like, box! Box, box, box.
The real DBU is not Florida State. It is Mike Zimmer's classroom.
Yeah.
You bring those ball skills. You bring that fluid speed
of a
Mike Hughes, and you put him in the real DBU, Mike Zimmer's classroom.
Right.
Deion Sanders, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong with those kick return and punt return touchdowns and those picks.
You see, the producer was a little giddy after the 3:45 of Miller Lite Vikings draft party coverage because it was you, Ben Lieber, and yours truly up on that glitzy stage. Got thousands of people there having a good time, waiting for the Vikings at 30. Meanwhile, he's standing behind us, dealing with functioning clompability, brakes, Winter Park, Zimmer, Spielman, Hughes agent. So it's like he was chomping at the proverbial bit to jump on the mic.
Right.
So we're walking out, and he compares Mike Hughes to Deion Sanders. After the Zimmer coach Sanders, he knows what the next Deion looks like. He hit me with, PA, the operative number here is 9. And I'm like, what? The operative number is 9? What does that mean? And he said, 9. Did you know, during his career in the National Football League, Deion Sanders had 9 return touchdowns?
I always love that one.
6 via punt, 3 via kick.
Let's do it.
Does Mike Hughes not play corner, not return punts, and not return kicks? The operative number is 9. So maybe we just call him prime time.
I know. Let's start putting that expectation on him right out of the gate.
Super Bowl's in Atlanta, Zim.
Hey, we all wanted O-line. O-line was the A topic at 30 if the things fell the way they needed to.
And let me guess, Frank Ragnow's the next Randall McDaniel.
But the reality is... if we're going to get somebody else, a non-O lineman, let's get the next Deion Sanders, gentlemen. Let's get that type of difference maker at his position at the real DBU with Mike Zimmer.
Feasting on the Friday Football Feast, Tile Shop set list, courtesy of TileShop.com, goes like this. NFL Draft, NFL Draft, NFL Draft, NFL Draft. Vikings training camp in Eagan with our friend Jeff Anderson. NFL Draft, NFL Draft, NFL Draft. Vikings general manager Rick Spielman in the neighborhood of 1117. NFL Draft, NFL Draft, NFL Draft. Courtesy of Tile Shop and TileShop.com. Yours truly, Wabi from Vikings.com, and radio analyst Pete Bursich from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center this evening at 6:30. We are capturing all of the action. And getting reaction to all of the action as we walk you up to pick 62 this evening. Then, in Kirk Cousins to Dalvin Cook-like fashion, we hand it off to Nordo and Meat Sauce, who will be in the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios, to carry you through round 3. Tomorrow, Nordo and Meat Sauce, with a side dish of Ben Lieber, they will handle rounds 4 through 7. And Charge, the National Football League Draft is underway.
It is underway. It was a very action-packed first round, Paul. 6 trades in the first round, and not necessarily where people thought they were going to go. We did see, we saw a lot of movement for quarterbacks. We saw Josh Rosen fall. We saw Lamar Jackson fall all the way to the last pick.
Yeah.
And it took a trade to get him into the last pick of that round. We saw,
there was a draft-related prop. Because you can wager on draft-related props in Las Vegas. And given I'm Mitch and Pauly Veasan trained, there was a draft-related prop that came out weeks ago, and it was over-under on quarterbacks taken in the first round.
Mm.
The number was 4.5. So, I can't remember where it started, but the sharps, the rubes, the squares, and the whales all came in on the over.
The over.
So yes. It went from like...
A lot of people thought six were going to go in the first round.
So like Westgate or whatever lays it out at 4.5.
Yeah.
Rubes, squares, sharps all come in. Bet that mug up from like -180 to like -650.
Oh jeez. Wow.
Right.
So you have all those rubes sitting after Rosen's taken, and they got to wait until the very last.
Right. Now, FIPA, Fairness and Prop Act. when you're dealing with proposition wagers like that, you can't bet like 50 grand. There's like a max, and I think that max was 1,000. But it doesn't mean you can't go to the window 30 times.
That's right. So you can.
So I mean, it's like, hey, Nordo just bet 1,000 on the over 4.5. Okay, he's handing off to PA, who did the same thing. Who's handing off to Charge, who did the same thing.
Yes.
Who's handing off to Sauce, who did the same thing.
Howard in Chicago.
Yeah, Howard in Chicago just tried to do it twice. We had to tell him, no, you can only do it once.
Yehuda Cohen.
So say you mashed, and you eventually are going to win. Say you mashed on the over 4.5
right.
on quarterbacks in round one.
Right.
Oh, my God. If the Ravens don't trade to 32.
So pick 32 comes up.
You lose all your money.
And it's Philadelphia.
Right.
And you're saying, I've hit it. I've hit it. Yeah. No chance Philadelphia's taking a quarterback.
If you had the
32.
Under, you were spending the money at Mastro's at the Cosmopolitan on the seafood tower, the prime rib, and the freaking butter cake.
You've got the butter cake in your mouth, and then the TV flips.
Yes.
Trade happening.
Yes.
Baltimore, and you know instantly you're dead.
What's next for the Minnesota Vikings? We will hit on that during the course of the 9 to noon radio show. Pick 62 this evening for now. Mm-hmm. We also will offer up the Friday Football Feast Quick Twitch on each and every pick in round one, beginning at 9:35. And we have a round one. Charge is going to love this.
Yep.
A rest is specifically on 4 hour sleep. A round one trivia contest.
What?
With Paul Charchian.
Oh, boy.
Paul
All
Lambert.
Right.
And yours truly.
Really?
Right around the corner.
Name
this is
game.
A surprise. Let's play a game.
All right.
Good morning. It's the Friday Football Feast at your favorite radio station. This is your Mike Hughes. Might be the next Deion Sanders leader, the fan. FM 100.3. Welcome to the Friday Football Feast. It's 9 to noon. Good morning.
9 to noon. PA and Charge.
It's PA and Charge on the Fan.
A draft-related trivia game coming up shortly. Then the Friday Football Feast Quick Twitch on round one. From Baker Mayfield through Lamar Jackson, PA in charge with quick-fire thoughts in quick-fire fashion. But first, it is now post time for the Warner Stallion Weekend Whip-Around.
NHL playoffs, we saw Vegas shut out San Jose 7-0. 3 goals in short order for the Penguins. They get the victory over the Caps. But tonight, PA, Winnipeg and Nashville in a big spot Western Conference battle. And then Boston and Tampa on the Eastern Conference side of things tomorrow.
Vegas last night, oh, thank heaven for number 7, as in 7 goals, winning 7-0. Meat grinder between Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin. Crosby gets the money on the road, and a Nashville should summarily dismiss of the Jets this evening.
Speaking of 7, a series I'm really enjoying, Bucks and Celtics in the NBA playoffs, PA. The Greek Freak helping Milwaukee force a game 7. But Western Conference, tonight's the A topic for Hoops fans in Minnesota.
Yes.
Ricky Rubio and the Jazz can close out the Thunder in game 6.
Ricky Rubio? Still playing in the playoffs?
Oh, here we go.
And playing, but what do you mean? He can't score.
And playing.
What about the spacing?
And playing.
What about the spacing?
Hey,
you know nothing about basketball?
I didn't know.
Ricky Rubio will never lead a team to the playoffs.
I didn't know I was co-hosting the Friday Football Feast with James Naismith. That's a spectacular game this evening and a very entertaining docket of NBA games this evening. Can't wait.
Let me just play this audio for you to sum up the last 4 games for the Minnesota Twins.
Swung on, there it goes deep left. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a game-winning walk-off 3-run home run. Sanchez, the Sanchino, drills a long game-winning three-run home run in the bottom of the ninth, and the Yankees win the ball game 4-3.
There we go.
A three-run blast, a walk-off. Yankees win. Yankees win.
WFAM, Yankees flagship radio station.
Main man so excited about the outcome, he forgot the score. What a fitting way for the Twins to close a road trip where they lose seven games. The series against Cleveland in Puerto Rico was actually a home series, but it was on the road, and they split there. And now they get the ever-enticing Cincinnati Reds.
Yep.
At Target Field this evening, you know. Cesar Geronimo, George Foster, Davey Concepcion, Joe Morgan, and Joey Votto.
Charlie Hustle.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
And finally, the NFL draft. You heard the draft show last night. Mike Hughes, cornerback Central Florida, drafted 30th overall to the Minnesota Vikings. Next up on the docket, starting at 6:30 p.m., PA Pete Bursich, Wabi from Vikings.com, will lead you up to at least pick 62, the second round selection for the Purple.
Yep, can't wait. Getting into that right around the corner as to what's next for the Minnesota Vikings. Feels like offensive line at 62, but it doesn't have to be. We will discuss that later in the Friday Football Feast, and that is the Warner Stallion Weekend Whip Around. The Grill Expo was last week, but there still are elite grills available, and given it's grilling season, make sure you look for gas, charcoal, pellet grills. I own a Napoleon grill. It is spectacular. Take a look into that. And do so at Warner Stellium. I love my Napoleon grill, and you will too. Find a location near you at WarnerStellium.com. Hi, Sauce. Good morning.
Hey, babe.
Hey, great, great job predicting Mike Hughes last night at 30. Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent intel. Great instincts. Very well done.
You're welcome.
Yep, good job. And he's a good player, and we look forward to watching him next season.
And good job winning initials this morning.
I did not, but I'm about to whoop your ass in this game.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get you out of your mindset right now.
Well, no, I'm not. I mean,
I don't even know what this is.
There's sauce. There's three things I'm good at.
Yep. Sauce.
All right.
Three?
Two.
Okay, one.
Are you alone for all three?
Well, I'm alone for one, and I'm real good at that.
Sauce.
Always.
That's about it. That and drinking.
Yeah.
Solo journeys have their perks.
Well, sauce.
I'm not sure if it's courtesy of this, but just in case it is, courtesy of Mosquito Shield, weekly charge 9 to noon, we do something called the name game, where Nordo comes up like with the name Paul, and then he gives hints, and it could be Paul Lambert, could be Chris Paul, whatever. So this is that. However, it's not a singular name. It is, it's a first round trivia game where of all the picks from Baker Mayfield through Lamar Jackson, you will have a couple of hints for each selection. There will be 10 of them. And your name is the buzzer.
I don't understand the premise yet.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Are you stupid?
32 college prospects were drafted last night.
Thank
correct.
You.
Okay, their name will be the answer.
Right.
Okay. He was merely explaining typically it would be 10 Larrys. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there weren't 32 Larrys drafted yesterday, so that can't 31. Work.
That was my L. It was under the premise he knew what the name game is, which clearly he didn't, so that was my L.
He doesn't listen to 9 to noon. No, at any rate.
I've played the name game, although not in probably a year, which I'm thankful for.
Right, no
I'm
doubt.
I'm not very good at it.
Yeah. To clear things up, I have 10 players that were drafted last night.
All right,
those
and you are
the
somehow going to provide hints as to who the player is.
There you go.
I need to turn my draft stuff upside down.
I have three clues per answer.
Well, Rosie just covers it with something, but then still has the name showing.
And your name is your buzzer.
Okay, got it.
So should I yell Steve?
Steve!
Sauce.
Todd!
I'll yell that.
Hughes!
Are you guys ready to roll?
Mm-hmm.
All right, beautiful.
We're going to talk about the draft.
All right, 10 different players. If there's a tie, I do have a tiebreaker. Your name is your buzzer. I have three clues per question. Let's rock this thing.
Let's do it, Nordo.
They're all players that were drafted last night. Number one, some thought this perennial contending team may take a corner or defensive player, even a backup QB.
Announcer.
Yes.
Damn it. Packers.
No, it's a name of
it's
the
a
player.
Name. I messed the whole thing up.
Even you don't understand your own game.
I'm stupid. Please
all right, let
continue.
Me try this again. Charge. This guy's Charge. Contending, yes.
Well, I mean, now I may as well just try to gravy train the answer he was trying to give.
Yeah.
J.R. Alexander.
No, you...
Okay, I got it. All right, thank you, boys. I get all the clues.
All right, perfect. Let's try this again.
All right.
This guy's perennial contending team, they thought he may take a corner or a defensive player or even a backup QB, but they took this guy instead. We heard that.
Yeah.
He was the second of their two picks in the first round.
Damn it.
And finally, did his parents name him after their favorite brand of electronics?
Ooh. I know this is
killing
me. That's
hard. Three.
No, it's not.
Two.
This is ridiculous.
Paul.
Easy.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson.
No, it's Sony Michelle.
Sony Michelle.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
Oh,
Nordo, fantastic work with the hints. Thank
Those
you.
Those are
Thank
dumb.
You. I mean, from Sauce last night at 30 through your hints.
Are you mocking me?
I'm mock drafting you. Yeah, I mean,
we're getting mocked.
What a treat.
Okay.
Okay. Great job. Nobody got it.
Thanks.
Number two.
Thanks, Roger Goodell.
All right, this player.
Thanks, James Naismith.
We knew.
Thanks, Rudy Tomjanovich.
Right.
Second player.
Yeah.
Drafted last night. We knew he might be taken before the Vikings, but it was a bit of surprise as to where he landed.
Announcer.
Yes.
Frank Ragnow.
That's right.
Oh, wow. 1-0 in favor of PA. Guys that were drafted last night. His team was involved in the first of many trades last night. His team also added a former member of the Philadelphia Eagles in free agency to build that D-line. Yes.
Quentin Nelson? I'm bad.
Good luck saying his entire name.
Oh, announcer.
Yes.
Dang it. Vita Vea.
That's right.
It is Vita.
Vita Vea. Vita Vea.
But it. But this
his
isn't the initials.
His full name is Pisa Tinoisamoa Brandon Maluyuna.
Chris Fuamatu Bafala.
And Halapula Palivati.
Vita Vea.
Perfect. Great story, PA.
Thanks.
All right. Two rip, PA, with both of them so far.
How many sauce have?
He has zero at this point.
I got Mike Hughes, though.
Right.
Yeah, you
good
did.
Good job.
Yeah, you predicted that.
Shut up.
This next guy drafted last night turned over the ball a lot last year in college.
Announcer.
Headed, yes.
Josh Allen.
Charge.
Yes.
Sam Darnold.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Nice job, Virgie. Oh. Hey, Virgie. Nice job, Sauce.
All right,
zero.
Sauce.
Way to go, Todd McShay, with that Mike Hughes call.
Clearly a passenger.
Thank you.
You were beaten by Parrish this morning in initials.
Yeah, well.
Question
your
number
parents
five.
Parents wish you'd leave town.
That's wild.
Better than being beaten by Lolita like Wednesday night.
I'd love that.
Number five, he was drafted last night. Considered the best at his defensive position.
Paul.
Yes.
Bradley Chubb. I mean, how dumb are these clues?
Well, maybe you just shouldn't jump in right away
position.
With an awful answer.
Announcer.
Oh, awful answer.
Yes.
Denzel Ward.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be any of them.
Yeah.
Well, the next clue is...
Sauce, good job, Mike Mayock.
Yeah. His college teammate was also drafted last night despite a partially torn pec.
Announcer.
That would have been Denzel Ward because it was Billy Price.
Okay.
So you have to wait.
Yeah.
You have to wait.
I got three. Charge has one. Sauce has zero.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Cool story. I get to go home and take a nap and do the one thing I'm good at.
All right. Taking a nap now during the segment.
Are you going to meet the stranger?
Yeah. I'm working on him right now.
Warming him up.
He's more likely to meet the strangler.
Number six. Right now, it's 3-1 PA to Charge, zero for Sauce.
We get it.
Number six. Second guy taken at his offensive position. Presumably.
Announcer.
Yes.
Wait, who?
That was Charge.
That was Charge.
Penny.
Ooh, that's what I was going to guess.
Presumably, he is replacing a guy the team lost in free agency to the Chicago Bears.
Mm.
This kid went to the same SEC school and plays the same position as the team's superstar player.
Holy cow. No idea.
No idea.
Calvin Ridley,
nice
wide
job.
Receiver, Alabama.
Great job.
No one knows this.
Yeah, fantastic.
Is this impossible?
Okay, well, you're practically the combination of Gil Brandt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're the combination of Jabba the Hutt and Roseanne Barr.
Well, guess what? If it were the initials game, your initials would be FU.
Yeah, your initials would be dumb.
Good job on Mike Hughes last night, Mel Kiper.
Just keep your hat on. It's still 3-1 PA into Charge. Sauce is nothing. Number seven. His team just added a former Viking, but still traded up to get this guy. Feels slighted. That team should take... Yes. That was Paul first.
Josh Rosen.
That's right.
There he goes.
Charge is right on it.
Yep. No, he's on it.
Yeah, I normally finish before Charge.
Number eight. 3-1-1. Number eight. A generational talent considered by most at his position. Yes.
Saquon Barkley.
Whoa!
Again, with the first clue.
Announcer.
Yeah, but I have to.
Announcer.
Yes.
Quentin Nelson.
That's right.
Game over.
Game over.
Announcer, Quentin Nelson.
Good job, Pete Prisco.
Number nine, just for fun.
Great job, Ian Rappaport.
He better be a future All-Pro because his team gave up a ton to move up and get him.
Paul.
Yes.
Josh Allen.
There you go again with the first clue.
Not too many have been drafted from his college.
Oh, announcer. Damn
it. Yes.
Marcus Davenport.
That's right.
Nice job, PA.
Thank you.
Number 10, just for the fun of it, he's happy he got drafted because he only brought one suit to Dallas.
Announcer.
Paul.
It was announcer.
Paul Tagliabue.
Paul.
Okay. I like it.
Go ahead, Church.
It's got to be Lamar Miller.
Paul.
Lamar Miller has already been drafted.
It is
Lamar Jackson. Jackson.
Who, by the way,
that's it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know he won the Masters.
Who?
Yeah, that was
Lamar
a weird
Jackson.
Look. Yeah,
Sauce.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, on behalf of the Friday Football Feast,
where's your mocking me?
Spectacular draft takes and opinions and knowledge and work ethic and everything up to the draft. Great job last night on Twitter. Can't wait to hear you this evening, beginning with round number three after Wobby Bursich and I do that thing at TCO. Great job.
I put up with crap for 3.5 hours. I don't need it from you.
Nobody's giving you crap. You're
yes,
my little brother.
No, you are.
I'm loving you, Todd McShay.
Give me some cash.
When 9 to noon continues, quick twitch on each of the first round picks from Baker Mayfield through Lamar Jackson. This is your home for NFL Draft recap coverage. Friday Football Feast, FM 100.3, The Fan. Good morning.
It's PA in Charge.
They're Hollywood as hell, but they're still very good.
On The Fan.
Everybody, 9:40 in the Love Covenant. Good morning. It is time to Friday Football Feast Quick Twitch. Each and every pick in the first round. And we begin with the Cleveland Browns and this guy.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield,
wow.
Quarterback, Oklahoma.
Paul, you were very fond of that pick. Why do you like Baker Mayfield more than all the other quarterbacks?
Uncanny accuracy, ability to throw just strikes on the run, hits his receivers in stride. I like that he's got moxie and attitude, and I think you need that. You know, Brett Favre had it. You know, I think you need some of that, and in your quarterbacks. And you know, I don't want a wishy-washy quarterback. I like that he's got a little chip on his shoulder, and that's fantastic. Baker Mayfield, I think the Browns got it right. I think he's going to be proven to be a very good quarterback at the next level.
Let the record show, within the last 12 hours of draft-related coverage on these airwaves,
yes,
we have had four big spot comparisons.
Okay.
Preposterous statement, tournament worthy one day, but they're opinions, which means they're not wrong or right, because we have to watch them play out. Paul Charchian just compared Baker Mayfield to Brett Favre.
No, I did not.
Last evening, Ben Lieber compared Saquon Barkley to Bo Jackson.
He did.
Last evening, I said Josh Rosen reminds me of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, you did.
And after the draft party, you told me Mike Hughes will be better than Deion Sanders.
Correct.
I mean, 9 to noon is absolutely on its game. second pick, Saquon Barkley, to the New York Giants. Charge?
It's not probably what I would have done, but Saquon Barkley is an amazing talent, and the team needed him badly, and I think it certainly makes sense. I think the Giants should have gone with a quarterback here because the Giants don't want to. You shouldn't believe you're going to be in the top five again.
Yep.
Having your pick of whatever, basically whatever quarterbacks you want, and I think it was a it will in the long term feel like a mistake when Eli Manning retires and the Giants don't, you know, will not likely have an adequate replacement for him. Nonetheless, Barkley's an awesome talent, and I'm confident the Giants will get a great deal of production out of him.
Maybe for whatever the reason, the New York Giants felt Mason Rudolph, the quarterback from Oklahoma State, was not markedly worse than what was available at that spot. So maybe very early this evening,
they could.
Mr. Shermer goes with Mason Rudolph.
Wouldn't be at all surprised.
I'm not sure he will, but he could. Feels like early this evening, offensive line or quarterback for the New York Giants. I am absolutely infatuated with the Saquon Barkley pick for the way, knowing the way Pat Shermer executes offense with the likes of Odell Beckham Jr. and maybe some more help on the offensive line. I think the former Vikings offensive coordinator slammed a home run. The New York Jets at number three, well, they go with Sam Darnold, the quarterback from USC. Give me the quick twitch.
Many people believe Sam Darnold's the best quarterback in the draft. Jets get him at number three when they could have, you know, potentially, you know, had to settle for somebody that's a lot less polished. If Sam Darnold brings his accuracy together and decision-making together, he will probably, at that point, he'll be the best quarterback in this draft. So I think this worked out great for the Jets.
The Cleveland Browns at pick four take Ohio State cornerback Denzel Ward. Now, their opinions, doesn't make them right, doesn't make them wrong. In my opinion, I am not a fan of the way the Browns executed 1-4. Now, for my taste, I prefer Josh Rosen over Baker Mayfield. So that was my favorite quarterback in the draft. That's the one I would have taken. Regarding this spot, super special. The guy played his football in Columbus, Ohio. But to pass on Bradley Chubb, in my opinion, is a mistake. And I guess we will watch the games and subsequently grade it after that.
Well, and pass again, Quentin Nelson. You could have helped protect the blind side of your brand new quarterback for the, you know, for the next decade.
Yeah,
and Quentin Nelson is a fantastic prospect at guard, and I think that was a mistake as well. So I didn't love this pick, although they got the player that has the best chance of being the best cornerback in this draft.
What's next?
With the fifth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bradley Chubb, defensive end, NC State.
Did you hear that voice? Who let Wobby make the pick for the Denver Broncos? Bradley Chubb, love the pick. I mean, if I'm a Broncos fan, seriously, you're telling me I have Von Miller on one side and Bradley Chubb on the other? Oh, my God. Where do I get my season tickets? And if there's a PSL, can I please get two?
Didn't they struggle last year without having somebody to compliment Von? I mean, Von might be the best defensive player in the NFL doing what he does. But giving that double option, you can find somebody to replace Aqib Talib now that you have Chubb in the mix.
You know, teams always replicate what the Super Bowl champions just did. And the Super Bowl champion Eagles dominated with their defensive line. And now you see Denver making a move that helps them be better across, you know, from left to right side of that defensive line.
Regarding your question, I have no idea. What do I look like? Mark Schlereth? Oh, my God. Number six, the Indianapolis Colts get Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame.
An absolute gift. A gift for the Colts, a team that desperately needed help. Well, they need help almost everywhere, but offensive line was surely among them. And they get a fantastic player in Quentin Nelson, and you know, another stay-at-home kid who doesn't have to leave the state. So it's I thought this was maybe the easiest and most predictable pick as it was unfolding. When it got to the Colts, there was virtually no chance they would go another direction.
So now we get to Old Bank Kevin for number seven.
Yeah,
and feels like the first significant L of the draft.
Yep,
we'll chat about it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the seventh pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the seventh pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Oh, there it is. Chargy, what do you think?
Worst, I think this is the biggest mistake of the first round. Not only did Buffalo take a quarterback with a ton of questions in Josh Allen, to make the move up, they gave up both of their second rounders to do it, and that was a huge loss as well. I think Buffalo made a sizable error, and I believe had they just stayed pat at 12 and not paid the price to move up five spots, they still could have got Josh Allen. So I think this was a mistake. If you were going to move that far, I would have taken Josh Rosen instead of Josh Allen. So I don't like the trade. I don't like the player they picked with the trade. All around, I think this was a mistake for a desperate team.
And now,
football feast.
We get to what I think is a legitimate problem. The eighth overall pick in the draft, Chicago Bears take Georgia inside linebacker Roquan Smith. Why I say it's a problem is because we play the Bears two times.
And he's very good.
Having Roquan Smith next to Danny Trevathan behind Eddie Goldman, I think that's a little bit of a problem for teams in the NFC North. For my money, for whatever it's worth, Roquan Smith, second best player, a defensive player in the National Football League draft charts, and he plays in our division.
You have to be a really good inside linebacker to go this early. Really good, and he is. He was the best at either inside or outside. He was the best linebacker in this draft.
Yep.
He will likely anchor the middle for a team that has a legacy of great linebacking.
Yep.
He's got a chance to be another one.
Might be part of the preposterous statement tournament with Charge comparing Baker Mayfield to Brett Favre.
Yep.
Lieber comparing Saquon Barkley to Bo Jackson. Me saying Josh Rosen plays like Aaron Rodgers. Mm. And Nordo saying Mike Hughes will be better than a Deion Sanders. As my intel went this morning on the drive-in, I was told Roquan Smith has an immense amount of Ray Lewis-like qualities as an inside linebacker in a 3-4.
Wow. All right.
Very high-end example, main man.
Really is.
Wow. We'll see how that works out.
Are you going to put a name to that?
Name to what?
Oh, who said it?
Well, are we in the source sharing business these days?
If he's gonna, we got to put somebody in the preposterous statement tournament. We can't just put PA's source.
It'll be
in the preposterous statement tournament.
It will be source du jour.
Well, that's Ray Lewis on field as well. Yeah, not off
charge.
Field.
You've been to handling school.
Yeah,
the announcer does not.
I am intimately familiar with the preposterous statement tournament. Yes,
yeah, the announcer does not share sources.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Pick number 9: San Francisco 49ers. They take Notre Dame tackle Mike McGlinchey.
It's a good pick.
So they got Joe Staley as an offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure McGlinchey absolutely rolls in as a starter there. But, given they took him at the 9 overall, he probably will.
He'll be a starter, almost certainly, and was by far the best tackle in this draft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was sort of a one-tackle draft. 49ers went up, and they're going to protect the investment they just made in Jimmy Garoppolo makes a lot of sense. And by the way, and Jerick McKinnon, who's now the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL.
How about that?
So, you know, if you're going to put all that money into the guys behind the line of scrimmage, you might want to help the line of scrimmage. I'm sure that was the thinking. Niners, basically the rest of their draft needs to be defense.
Now, the Minnesota Vikings, when they host the Arizona Cardinals at glitzy U.S. Bank Stadium, may catch their former quarterback Sam Bradford trying to throw it all over the gym. Or maybe they see this guy.
With the 10th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Josh Rosen, quarterback, UCLA.
Couple of concussions last year, an injury problem the previous year. That's why I was moderately sheepish on Josh Rosen. For my money, best quarterback in the draft. If I'm Cleveland, I take him. And I mean what I say when I watch his cut-ups. He has some Aaron Rodgers to his game. I think Arizona did incredibly well with the UCLA kid.
Arizona had to move up to make the deal, but they didn't feel comfortable with Sam Bradford as their starting quarterback, which is why the Vikings made the right decision in trying to move on as well and go get Kirk Cousins. Josh Rosen already angry about the fact that he went to pick 10. He's already said 9 other teams are going to pay.
He didn't.
He's on the revenge circuit already. Yes, he has.
Wow.
So he sounded like an idiot.
He's very, very bitter about going 10.
Okay.
He really believes he should have gone number 1, and the other 9 are going to pay. So we'll find out.
Maybe his nickname should be Wizinator, like Ontario Smith, as in steal of the draft.
That's right.
At 11, the Miami Dolphins take a free safety from Alabama named Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, the whole thing dropped. The whole draft worked out badly for Miami, that I think really was hoping that a quarterback prospect would fall to them at 11. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to trade up. Arizona was worried that Miami would take Josh Rosen, so they had to jump up to 10 to go get him. Miami ends up taking the super flexible Minka Fitzpatrick. He could be He can start outside cornerback, inside cornerback, free safety, strong safety, tons of flexibility for a secondary that needs help in a lot of places.
Sounds like it worked out awfully for him.
How about the Buccaneers at 12? They get athletic in the middle. They get very stout in the middle with Vita Vea, a Linval Joseph type from the University of Washington. He will play next to the great Gerald McCoy.
This is one of the most surprising moves. Not that Vea's not a good player, because he's a great player. I just didn't see Tampa taking him, so Washington taking him, because Tampa already had Gerald McCoy. And Gerald McCoy's awesome. Now, these are two different style of defensive tackles, but nonetheless, it was a bit of a surprise. And ultimately, again, teams are emulating the Eagles. They're trying to, just pack their defensive line with talented players. And that's, it does make some sense. And by the way, Vikings are in that ballpark as well. It's another team that's pretty darn good against the defensive line.
Do you think the Washington Redskins are indicating to the fan base, we think we have a problem stopping the run from the inside of the defense? Last year, they go with Alabama defensive tackle John Allen, who got hurt. This year, they go with Alabama three technique Daron Payne, who, from my intel indicates, and I'm sorry, Charge, I can't share the source. My intel indicates Payne, not great at pass rushing, unbelievably good at run stopping.
Yeah, and they desperately needed help against the run. A lot of sustained drives against them. And, we knew they'd go defense. I think the pick would have been Vea had he dropped, but they took their number two defensive tackle, and it was clear that that was the position they wanted.
The New Orleans Saints swap with the Green Bay Packers, get all the way up to 14, and they take the second best football player ever to play at Texas San Antonio, behind David Morgan. He's defensive end Marcus Davenport.
It was an expensive move for the Saints, who went up, I think it was 12 picks to make that move.
27-14.
Yeah, that sounds
like our score against Green Bay week two at Lambeau.
Oh, I like, which side?
Us, 27.
Oh, I figured you might say that.
Can't share source, though.
Saints had to give up a first round pick next year to make that big of a jump up.
Uh-huh.
So it was very, very expensive, and I didn't see defensive end as a massive area of need, but they obviously loved Davenport and thought that he was going to make a huge difference for the Saints.
Let's go on and do 15 through 32 in the next segment. Feasting on the Fan.
It's PA in Charge.
Were they sent to hell?
Worse. Wisconsin.
On the Fan.
Nordo.
What up?
What exactly is it with Mike Hughes' punt returning ability that reminds you of Deion Sanders?
He goes from 0 to 60 in a second.
Yeah.
He looks like he's jogging, but he's got the 4.35.
Yeah.
I mean, what else is there? The only thing he doesn't have is the bandana.
Yeah.
All he doesn't have is the cool walk into the end zone.
Yeah.
That's what might make Mike Hughes better than Deion Sanders.
Right.
Is he's a workman, PA.
He's not
trying to show off. He just wants to get paid and get scored.
So when you were telling me last night leaving U.S. Bank Stadium, we were like in the Minneapolis Miracle area heading to that tunnel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it went seriously like yard by yard or five by five.
Right.
At the 20. PA, can I tell you something?
Right.
At the 15. Mike Hughes is better than Deion Sanders. At the 10, PA, the operative number is 9. What's 9? It's the amount of kick and punt return touchdowns Deion Sanders had.
Correct.
And Mike Hughes will finish his career with more. But when we got to the goal stripe is when you verbally house the whole situation and scored a verbal touchdown. When you said, regarding Xavier Rhodes, it's good Xavier got all the money he did when he did. Because Mike Hughes is about ready to snatch up Kirk Cousins like money, isn't he?
Xavier Rhodes might not get paid again after Mike Hughes takes the field as member of the Minnesota Vikings.
Mike Hughes! We are Central Florida Northwest.
Hey, I'm pumped about the kid. I like him.
Latavius Murray on one side and Mike Hughes on the other side.
Let's do this thing.
This is awesome. Vikings General Manager Rick Spielman, an hour and 18 minutes from now. We are quick twitching round one of the National Football League draft. PA in Charge doing that thing. We have gotten through the first 14 picks. We are at number 15. And number 15 is this guy.
With the 15th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Colton Miller.
The next Joe Thomas.
Offensive tackle, UCLA.
Well, you remember just 2 years ago, we talked about it, the Raiders had the best offensive line in football, and it seemed like it would be that way forever.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're taking a tackle in the first round.
He must be Walter Jones-like. Mm. And why I bring up that reference, because everything John Gruden does or says, from dismissing the significance of analytics to like talking about how football players play in old-school fashion, Colton Miller must look to him on tape as like the next Walter Jones, who played right around that time. Gruden personifies a throwback. Now, super special Will Hernandez from Texas El Paso.
Yeah, still available.
Yeah, he did not get drafted in the first round, which means there were 31 teams who didn't think that highly of him. I thought this was a potential Hernandez spot, and here's why. As we pointed out all week, super special Will Hernandez in NFL circles is deemed as a scheme fit guy. So if you want to run pass options, zone schemes, like get your offensive linemen all over the field, supposedly Hernandez is not your guy. The Raiders run an offense with Kelechi Osemele, Derek Carr in their running game that was tailor-made for Will Hernandez.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens with super special Will Hernandez tonight.
He might have their second round pick.
I believe Will Hernandez will go to somebody in short order. First half of this round.
Ain't going
to
be the Giants.
No, probably won't be the Giants. You're right. It almost certainly will not be the Giants, who put big equity to solve their guard, sizable equity to solve a guard issue. So, no, it won't be the Giants.
Yeah, they took Nate Solder to play tackle.
Right. Didn't they lost Justin Pugh, though.
Yeah, and they went after Norwell and got beat.
They did. But they ended up signing Patrick Omame or something. I can't pronounce his name quite right.
Yeah, no, I'm quite confident they need a guard. I just I don't think it'll be that one.
It may not be.
In knowing the way Shermer runs his zone-type offense, doesn't seem to me that Davenport fits the mix.
It still could be Cleveland. We talked about Cleveland passing on the opportunity to get Quentin Nelson. Maybe they'll try to course correct with another guard.
Buffalo Bills, second pick in the first round. They take Vatek inside linebacker Tremaine Edmonds.
So they move up again. Tremaine Edmonds, this is another gamble pick. They gambled twice in the first round. Now, when anytime you're taking a 19-year-old player.
He's 19?
He's 19, Paul. It's hard to find your way into the draft at 19. Now, the only other 19 I can remember was that Okoye kid from like 8-9 years ago.
Oh,
Christian Okoye?
No, Moby Okoye. Went to the Bears. Yeah, right? Nice pick, Wobble.
He washed out instantly.
Good job, Wobble.
And it's a ton of risk. Pick. Now, the super athletic player, and maybe it's going to work out beautifully. But
yeah, Moby Okoye.
He might have been Houston.
And then
Houston. Nevertheless. But I think he was on both rosters.
Yeah, nice job, Wobble.
Right,
17, Los Angeles Chargers. Derwin James, strong safety, Florida State. Birchie, your thoughts?
This is a secondary that already had Jason Verrett and Casey Hayward, and now you're putting a first rounder into the safety position.
Yeah.
It was already very hard pass against the Chargers.
Yeah.
That might now be the best secondary in football. It's a gutsy pick at a position that wasn't really one they needed. It was sort of a luxury pick, but hey, if you're the Chargers and you didn't like the offensive linemen that were there, all right, go put together the best secondary in football.
Is today April 27th?
It is April 27th.
April 27th, year of our Lord 2018, announcer is going on record with an opinion he will not change. The LA Chargers will be your AFC West champions in the 2018 season.
There it is.
Their defensive coordinator, by the way, anybody remember the name? Gus Bradley. Who very good defensive coordinator. And James fits this bit with Joey Bosa perfectly.
Bradley was awesome with Seattle. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Jacksonville. Never got the offense going, but look at the way that defense had started to ramp up under Bradley.
Oh, no doubt.
And, he doesn't get as much credit as he should because he's gone a year from the Jacksonville Jaguars defense from last year.
Yeah.
Then he comes to the Chargers, and they were an elite pass defense last season. Now they add even more ammo.
Cinny, nice team. The Green Bay Packers, they trade back Then they trade up. At the big draft party at Lambeau Field last evening, after the 18th pick, somebody was heard saying this.
And the silence you hear is Lambeau Field.
With the 18th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jair Alexander, defensive back, nice pick. Louisville.
On behalf of the Minnesota Vikings, I would like to be the first to apologize for the double move Stephon Diggs will be putting on this individual, and subsequently torching him and summarily dismissing him. Jair, don't take it personally. It's business.
It's widely believed to be the second best cornerback in this draft. Probably will be a slot cornerback. He'll be matching up with Adam Thielen on a regular basis. He's tough, he's athletic, he's disciplined, good IQ. Does have a bit of a history of injury, though, and that, you know, could end up being a problem here. We'll find out. And a lot of people feel like he plays with his hands too much. He's too grabby at the NFL level. We'll find out if that ends up hurting him as well. But Packers had to do something with that secondary. Utter and complete meltdown over the last 2 years, and they've lost so many players, and the ones that they've drafted have not done well. It's another attempt, much like last year's first rounder, to rebuild the Packers secondary.
I like the pick. I mean, if we would have taken him, I would have been comparing him to Darrell Revis in his prime, or Patrick Peterson.
Alexander, 17. Yeah, okay. Jair Alexander's 2016. Holy cow, was he good in 2016. Mm-hmm. Best of luck to all involved. Leighton Vander Esch goes to the Dallas Cowboys at 19. Then we get to number 20. And number 20 has local ties.
With the 20th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Frank Ragnow, center, Arkansas.
Bastards. That's who I wanted the Vikings to take at 30.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the Lions. Media reports this morning saying that the Patriots tried to trade with the Lions to go get the same guy and weren't able to execute it, obviously, because the Lions wanted that guy. So, you know, he might play center, might play guard. It's not clear yet which way the Detroit will use him. I think he's more likely to be a guard, but he was a player that you identified 2 days ago, all day yesterday. You wanted the Vikings.
Wanted him.
To make a move here, and apparently you weren't alone. A lot of other GMs and scouts agreed, and didn't end up falling to us at 30.
Well, 21, Cincinnati was another tiny buzzkill. Billy Price and his wounded pec, he'll be ready to go in July. He absolutely will be ready to go week one of the 2018 National Football League season. The way I laid it out for my preferences for the Minnesota Vikings last evening, Billy Price was actually fourth in the order. Went for me like, hey, I'd like Frank Ragnow one. Mm-hmm. If not Ragnow, I want Mike Hughes. If not Mike Hughes, let's consider a trade. Right behind that was Billy Price. Cincinnati needed offensive line help, and I'm telling you right now, they got a good one.
They did get a good one. A guy that was expected to go in the middle of the first round, which is roughly where he went until the combine, tore his pec. Then a lot of people thought he wouldn't go in the first round.
Yep.
His doctor ended up sending a letter to 32 teams saying, he is on pace to be ready for week one, or even a training camp, is what the letter said. And then he ended up, Billy Price ended up going. I was hoping he'd be there for the Vikings because of the need at offensive line and at guard. And at Price, that would have been a terrific find for me at 30. I was disappointed that Cincinnati took him, but not at all surprised.
Tennessee Titans at 22 take Rashawn Evans. I like that pick because they lost one of their best tacklers in free agency, Avery Williamson. Then we get to Belichick at 23. And Bill selected what I thought was the most mercurial player in the first round. His name, Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah.
Plays tackle, plays guard, played at Georgia, played incredibly well. There's a torn labrum issue with Isaiah Wynn. Some reports, some of my intel indicated he absolutely will not be on the field as the 2018 regular season begins. But guess what? We're not drafting for one season. We're drafting for one career.
Or one game, week one. And Isaiah Wynn had a long history of playing tackle, believed that, you know, that the attributes that made him a good tackle will make him an even better guard. Not tall enough to play tackle in the NFL, but should be able to translate there. And a lot of people, including me, were interested in having Isaiah Wynn go to the Vikings. That didn't work out either. New England took another guy that could have been a fit for Minnesota off of the board well before the Vikings pick.
24, Norv gets, in my estimation, the best wide receiver in this draft, a DJ Moore from Maryland. So now Uncle Norv, offensive coordinator for Cam Newton. His options include Christian McCaffrey, Devin Funchess, Torrey Smith, Jarius Wright, Greg Olsen, and DJ Moore.
Jarius Wright bad. Not happy with this move because this is a slot receiver.
Whoa!
Built in the Percy Harvin mold. He's short but very strong.
Go ahead
good
and
balance.
Count Jarius out, okay?
Well, I'm just saying this. Made he played the same position, and he's a first rounder.
Yeah,
kick
first
returns
and touchdowns.
Yep, it's he'll help out in special teams immediately, and could and. All he's got to do is get by Jarius Wright and to become a week one starter.
25, Baltimore Ravens, Hayden Hurst, tight end, South Carolina. From what I understand, he's a field stretcher and the draft's best tight end. 26.
Well, before you go on, one interesting note on him. 25-year-old rookie.
Oh, my God, he's mature.
Yeah, he's mature. He went to the Pittsburgh...
He can rent a car.
He went to the Pittsburgh Pirates and pitched for a couple of years, sidetracked his football career, went back and played football.
Holy
now
God.
He comes out as a 25-year-old rookie.
That's good news, because Saturday after we draft Jordan Akins, tight end from Central Florida, we won't have the only 25-year-old rookie tight end in the National Football League.
There you go.
Turns out Baltimore has one in Hayden Hurst. 26... Game-changing wide receiver, this guy.
With the 26th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama.
What do you think?
Many people thought Calvin Ridley was the best receiver in this class and probably, almost certainly, the best outside receiver. Gets a ton of separation. He's very fast, a 4.4 40, very elusive after the catch as well. Calvin Ridley, many people thought would go 10 picks higher than this.
Yeah.
And now Julio Jones has somebody that can start opposite him. They lost Taylor Gabriel in the offseason.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu plays the slot. There's a chance Calvin Ridley's going to be a week one starting wide receiver for the Falcons.
27, Super Chickens, running back, San Diego State, Rashad Penny.
Tip of the hat to you. At this time yesterday, you said Rashad Penny was going to go in the first round. I poo-pooed you. You were right. I was wrong.
Steelers, 28, Vatek, free safety, Terrell Edmonds. 29, Florida, defensive tackle, Taven Bryan. For my money, best three technique in the NFL draft, specifically if you're looking for a pass-rushing three technique. And then, the life changer.
With the 30th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Mike Hughes, defensive back, University of Central Florida.
Much more on him an hour from now from General Manager Rick Spielman. Sony Michel, running back from Georgia, goes to New England at 31. And quarterback Lamar Jackson to the Baltimore Ravens at 32. That is your first round quick twitch. Vikings training camp is at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center this year for the routes of attack for tickets and inclusion and stuff like that. Do not miss next segment.
It's PA in Charge on the Fan.
Programming on the Fan brought to you in part by Bradshaw and Bryant.
Jeff Anderson is Executive Director of Communications for the Minnesota Vikings, and he joins us now. Jeffrey, welcome to the Friday Football Feast with PA in Charge. How are you?
PA, Charge. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hi, Jeff. We're well.
As Executive Director of Communications for our favorite football team, we find the fact that you are obligated to communicate and share with us and subsequently the public what the Vikings are going to do at 62 this evening.
Well, you know, I always stay in my lane, and so I won't be going that direction. But I will say that I listened to your draft name game a little while ago, and I would have fared pretty well against you guys, actually.
Really? Sounds like
it's always easy
really?
When you're in the car, in the office. It's always easy.
We have an executive trash talker here, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we might have to bring you in studio one time to play the name game.
No, that probably wouldn't go over well. But
well, I know you like the Fan, or at least you tolerate the Fan. So let me ask you this: Fridays at 8:20, have you listened to Initials on the Power Trip?
I have.
How do you
number
think,
of times?
How do you think you do with that?
I'm absolutely terrible at it, and my wife likes to rub it in how much better she is than me. So.
Jeff, as Executive Director of Communications for the Minnesota Vikings, he is here to assist us with something I went over several times last evening at U.S. Bank Stadium. It involves 2018 Minnesota Vikings training camp, which involves the rookies reporting July 24th. First practice scheduled for them the 25th, veterans July 27th, first full team practice July 28th. Training camp is expected to be open to the public through the second preseason game. You can get a lot of information at Vikings.com/training camp. When it comes to fans watching training camp, tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody's focused on the draft right now, but training camp is less than 3 months away, so it's going to be here before we know it, and as you guys know, it's an entirely new experience now at TCO Performance Center, and we've been in Mankato for 50-some years, so we have an emerging vision of what we can do, you know, in Eagan, and it's exciting. It's going to be an incredible Vikings atmosphere, and when you look at the Vikings Museum and the team store and the new plaza area and TCO Stadium, there's a lot of great things coming into focus here. And for us, it's really about walking before we run. So ensuring that we have a successful year one and providing that fantastic fan experience. And part of that's going to rely on a lot of communication about all the changes. So there's really two significant changes here in year one. The first is for the first time, we're going to have a daily attendance capacity, and that number is to be determined, but we're anticipating it around 5,000 fans on a daily basis, and that may increase slightly for night practices, but we just expect high demand this year given the location of camp. And the second change will be that general admission tickets will be free, but for the first time, fans are going to have to reserve those tickets in advance, and that process will open up in June on Vikings.com. We expect to give season ticket members kind of the first crack. You know, what that window looks like is yet to be determined, but let them get that first crack and then open it up to the general public. And still need to make some decisions on how many tickets and how many days, but the biggest change will be that you can no longer attend camp without a ticket in hand. And that's really just because of this capacity situation.
Yeah. And given that the tickets are free, you know, the advantage to having the ticketing, Jeff, is if you've got the ticket, you know, you can get in. And correct. Otherwise, people will be showing up and guessing whether or not they can get in.
Yeah.
And I this is a big deal. People take time off of work. They drive in from outstate. You don't want to make that. You don't want to do that only to get there and to be, you know, and to have it be a capacity and you can't get in. So I think the ticketing really only helps fans make sure they know they've got a spot.
Exactly. And that's why we'll be hitting this message all summer long, and really, hopefully in early June, that first week of June, we'll roll out all logistical details. We'll open up the ticketing process and release the full schedule and the autograph schedule. That's the other important thing. A lot of the things that people are used to in Mankato, the daily autograph sessions with position groups, those things are going to continue. We are exploring the idea of some limited reserve seating or an upgraded experience that would come at a cost. But the bottom line is that the same amount of people that were going to Mankato for free on a daily basis, which was around 4,000, that same process is going to continue in Eagan.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see by now having this right in the Twin Cities, how many more people end up attending. Because, you know, to go to Mankato and back was a pretty big commitment. And now, you know, people are driving right by it. And you just don't know. This is all new territory for the Vikings, too, right? Jeff, I mean, right now you're guessing as to how many people are going to come. We'll know a lot more shortly here.
Exactly. And we know we can accommodate more. But, you know, that will happen over time, we think. But, you know, really for this year, just make sure we have a phenomenal fan experience, that we do it the right way. I think at the end of camp, we'd like to look back and say, you know what, we can handle more next year. Let's build on what we did this year. But if we're not successful in year one, then, you know, that's a problem. So that's kind of why we've set the number where we did right now. And like you said, you know, we kind of are in a wait and see mode, but there's a number of people that, you know, now that we're right here in the cities that will say, hey, I'm going to take a lunch break, or I'm going to take an afternoon off and take my kids to camp because it's 10 minutes from my office. So, you know, we do expect the numbers to grow.
Eagan's a very nice city, but with Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center, training camp, a lot of things that are transpiring there. The mayor, Mike McGuire, certainly not asking you to speak for him or his office, but he just has to be tickled with everything that's happening, right?
Yeah, and they've been a great partner to date. They're the city of Eagan's excited to have the Vikings. We're excited to be there. I mean, TCO, what they're doing with the medical office building and the sports medicine center, I mean, that site is just starting to come together so well. And this summer, we'll open the Vikings Museum and the team store. And so when all those pieces start to come into place, you know, what that site is going to look like is going to be incredible. And we'll work with the city of Eagan on making sure that we tell our fans what they can do, you know, around the area and the surrounding communities during the breaks in camp.
Spectacular work. Anything else we need to know?
No, I just appreciate you guys making the time to let us talk about it a little bit, and fans can look for all the information, you know, in that first week or two in June.
Vikings.com/training camp. Jeff Anderson, Executive Director of Communications for the Minnesota Vikings. Have a great day, a better weekend, and I'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
See you later.
So with rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft commencing at 6 o'clock this evening, what is next for certain teams, but specifically the Minnesota Vikings? Into the second half of the presentation, the Football Feast trio hits that.
You're listening to PA in Charge. It's a Friday Football Feast, 9 to noon on The Fan.
Never heard anyone in my life who's more insane than Paul Allen.
Unless I'm messing something up here, do you know out of last night, because last night was the first round in the 2018 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings have, by my count, 7 first-round players on defense and 2 on offense.
Mm.
Offense, Treadwell, Riley Reiff. Defense, Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Anthony Barr, Sheldon Richardson, Mike Hughes, Terrence Newman.
Oh, wow.
Sounds right.
So, I mean, at 62 tonight.
We're just looking at that secondary with those
Terrence Newman technically on the team?
Yeah, he's on the team.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. 62 this evening. Feels like offensive line, but from 13-3. In a spot, in my opinion, for what it's worth, from 13-3, you absolutely do not have to force offensive line at 62.
Mm-hmm.
If there's somebody there offensively or defensively you like better, do you agree? And what are your thoughts?
I got it. I think two out of the next 3 and 3 out of the next 4 picks need to be offensive line.
I can't use 3 of the next 4 picks on offensive line.
I can.
Because unless they amass more picks, they have 3 picks in the 6th round.
Yep.
None in the 4th round.
I know.
So now tonight you got 2nd and 3rd. 2nd and 3rd round pick. I mean, at first blush, 2 offensive linemen, running back, tight end, maybe a wide receiver, probably a 3 technique with a Sheldon Richardson on a super special 1-year deal.
Yeah.
But now not having an offensive lineman at 30, with the picks I have remaining, I can't use 3 of them on offensive line.
I can. Just because I really think the way that this season could go upside down for the Vikings is to have an offensive line situation like what happened 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Vikings offensive line is very thin, and it only has moderate levels of talent now, and I think that's mostly in 2 guys.
But with Easton and Berger starting last year and Remmers at right tackle,
right?
I heard the same thing, and they won 13 games.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm saying let's say let's say it doesn't even have to be as catastrophic as 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's only three losses on the offensive line. Reef goes down. Mm-hmm. Elflein goes down.
Yeah.
And Easton goes down. You know, pick your three. You know, right. Then what? Now the whole season's up in the air. I think the one way when I look at our roster composition, as deep and talented as it is in so many areas, that's the way where I go, well, that's a way to not make the playoffs next year for the Vikings.
Yeah.
And so I want to do whatever I can to add depth to that offensive line. I don't want to take my chances on this.
But I want to add depth, of course, but not just add to add. In other words, well, we only have two offensive linemen. Here we are in the sixth round. We have to take one.
No, I mean, nobody's saying you have to take a player that you don't want or a player that grades nowhere near the selection. But the reality is that they're almost certainly going to be guys that will roughly deserve to be taken with Vikings picks that are on offensive line. We need right tackle. We need two guards. It's not even a question about whether or not we need those spots. We need them. Let's fill
I can't
them.
Say we need two guards if Remmers is going to play guard. And I see, I think I like Remmers more than you do.
I think you do too.
And I honestly think it's foolish to take the small sample of his work at guard and say that's who he is. I mean, because you can't look at somebody who has thousands of snaps during his career and then has fewer than 500 at one spot, and then you're like, okay, that's who he is. At least I can't. Specifically when they're in playoff games against supercharged teams, mm-hmm. and one including Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. So I'm willing to try Remmers at guard again.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be okay.
I look at this as window is open and you get Kirk and you want to win and you want to protect your asset. I think that
I agree.
You know, you talk about Case Keenum breaking the schedule as much as he did, or going off schedule, I should say, in 2017. Some of that in a way masks maybe some inefficiencies or deficiencies on the O-line, breaking it, getting outside, buying himself extra time.
No doubt.
We're talking about the right things, the trenches, the O-line and the D-line are where it's at. I think we absolutely must go O-line with our next pick. Now, my question to you guys.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If Fort Hays State defensive tackle Nathan Shepard is available at 62, because the next offensive lineman I want, and I don't know who you guys want, but for me, it's Nevada guard Austin Corbett.
And I wanted, okay, yes.
Okay, and I think it is a super long shot he's available at 62. That's my opinion. If this three technique I've been talking about for a month and a half is available at 62, unless you really like an offensive lineman with him or more than him, I can't skip it. I got to take that guy.
So my scenario for you guys in this situation, because if Nathan Shepard's available, I'm in on that. You brought that name up to me. I've done the research on it, and I love the idea of it. We talked about defensive line depth and all that.
Well, I thought Sauce did the research on it. That was you?
Oh, that's right. No, that was Sauce. Got I'm it. Sorry, and I took his opinion. Yep, so at yep. any rate.
We'll hear that tonight.
Perfect. Is there a possibility that Tricky Rick gets aggressive today? Like, today is the boom. And maybe it's a third rounder next year he concedes or something. Because you're right, no fourth round pick, and no one's going to take 3 6th rounders to move up from the fifth round into the third round. That's not going to happen. But if you're able to come away with a big spot defensive tackle, and you could potentially see an Austin Corbett. There's a Tyler Crosby kid out of Oregon. I mean, if you can get two nice picks on both sides of the line for the Vikings today, and Tricky Rick gets explosive to build this team from 13-3, I would love that scenario, getting aggressive now.
Charge, are you in favor of the general manager getting aggressive at 62?
Nope. They cost too much. I think to get aggressive, we're talking about moving from 62 to, I don't know, 40.
Yep.
And, you know, the cost for that kind of move would probably be, as a general rule, if you want to get a pick in a round this year and pay next year, you have to pay a whole extra round. It costs like next year's first rounder to move from the bottom of the second to the top of the second round. And it's just too much.
But
so
if you love your guy, I mean, we don't need 10 bodies in here. We need the right names that will work. If the name is right and they're passionate about it, make the move, Rick.
Yeah, you know, if you told me that, you know, the Vikings love, you know, this particular Austin Corbett, and they think he's a day one, week one starter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, I'm at guard. All right, I'm listening to that, but you know, without the fourth rounder, yeah, I think you'd have to give up so much to move from bottom of the second round to the top of the second round to get your guy that now you're giving up your second round pick, your third round pick, and maybe a sixth round pick.
Can't do it.
And you don't have a fourth rounder.
I'm out.
So I think the Vikings are going to stand pat. I think they're going to hope that there's remaining talent at the bottom of the second. And because the Vikings could use help at right tackle, right guard, left guard, I think somebody will fall to them that can help them here, and they need to take linemen.
So we're out on Danny Isadora off truncated performances in the regular season. We're out on him.
Depth guy.
Okay.
I'm not saying
on him at all.
I'm not saying cut him. I didn't see anything to suggest that. He's an every week solution as a starter.
Don't the number of snaps from 2017, and I don't have the snap counts in front of me, okay? I don't have the exact numbers. I didn't do the research like Sauce did, but I'm saying, I didn't see him making plays. I didn't see him pushing Easton. I didn't see him pushing Searles.
Agreed.
I mean, and so that, I don't want to say it troubles me.
Agreed.
His future is still there, no doubt about it. We love the Kane because we drafted him. We want to use him, but you didn't see the level of snaps and the production that you would expect. Okay, year two, now this guy's a major player.
Well, now what about, go ahead, Charge. Yes.
Let's bring up one more name.
Yeah.
Maybe the most polarizing player left in this draft.
Oh, the Oklahoma kid?
The Oklahoma kid.
Right.
Orlando Brown from Oklahoma.
I'm in.
You know, the day before the combine, everybody in the world thought that he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Then he shows up at the combine and puts on one of the laziest performances in the history of the combine. And now he's dropping to a point where he will very likely be there for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is a guy who played left tackle at Oklahoma,
unlocked
an awesome season for Baker Mayfield. Some people say he didn't give up any sacks, but he gave up a couple over the course of his career. But that's it.
Did he?
Doesn't have the footwork to be a left tackle. He really projects at the NFL to be a right tackle.
Yeah.
He's massive. He is 6'7". He is 350 pounds.
He's Phil Loadholt.
He is. He's Phil Loadholt. And I wonder if the Vikings shouldn't make that pick. I mean, it's really hard. General managers and scouts hate lazy guys, motivation guys, consistent guys. They hate that stuff because you can't necessarily coach that into somebody.
Yeah.
You can't coach burning desire into somebody. So there's tons of risk here. But if he were to be the first round talent that he was thought to be before the combine, and you're getting him at the very bitter end of the second round, boy, it's awfully tempting.
I'm not negative on it at all. And I am not going to let his combine performance supersede what has been seen from him year after year after year on film protecting Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Another name we haven't mentioned, and you know, this is I think a polarizing name, specifically if you're like Sauce. I mean, you're a draft nick. You're really hard into the draft, putting in a lot of work. Connor Williams, the offensive lineman from Texas. Now, what's polarizing about this to me is from my main man, Corey Chavis from DraftNasty.com, Williams is his favorite offensive lineman. So I go deep diving on Williams.
Yeah.
And some of my local and some of my national intel on him is don't love him at tackle, might have to move him to guard, not sure how he'll respond to that.
Yeah.
So with him, there are a fair amount of not sures. Same thing I got on Will Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
A fair amount of not sure. Like Hernandez, road grader. Might be okay in space, but I'm not sure A, B, C, D, and E. Same thing with Connor Williams. Now, I don't believe he'll make it to 62. Maybe he will. But see, that for me, it depends on, you know, that your defensive tackle situation. By the way, Danielle Hunter is in the final year of his contract, and I think his next one's going to be fat. It's going to be huge. So you got to consider that.
Okay, so let me ask you this about Danielle, just for a second. A momentary lateral move to Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
If you think he's sitting on a big season this year, sign him right now.
See,
because he's coming off of a modest season.
A good point.
And so this is buying low if you sign Hunter right now.
Right.
If you wait till the end of next year, you're giving him if he puts together a big splashy year, now he's going to cost you a lot more.
See, here's the deal. That's where I do now and have disagreed with the masses and that take on Danielle Hunter for about 5 months. Because in knowing the expectations and responsibilities for Daniil week after week after week. Mm-hmm. I heard so much from Jameis Winston through Kirk Cousins, through Matthew Stafford, through quarterbacks A, B, C, D, and E. Daniil, your chief responsibility is to keep that quarterback in the pocket, which is going to hamstring his all-out pass rushing ability.
Mm-hmm.
So in knowing Daniil, for the most part, fit the bill of what he was asked to do during the course of the season, I'm incredibly pleased with Daniil Hunter. So I can't, because he didn't have as many sacks as Michael Strahan, I can't say he had a modest season. My intel is that he had a good to a very good season, but there still is more expected of him. So to your point, I agree. I mean, if you can lock him up now, great. But where it plays into 62 is in a draft that widely is considered to not be a super deep edge rushing draft.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive ends rushing the passer. If the right one is at 62, ooh, you strongly have to consider it, even though it would be another defensive player. Because Brian Robinson's future for this team, in my opinion, is very much in question.
Yeah.
Daniil Hunter's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
Sheldon Richardson's going to be unrestricted. You know, and defensive and offensive lines, you know, that's obviously where a lot of it starts. So this is very perplexing. Offensive line at 62, sure.
That sounds like a training camp deal. I mean, you've seen that with Spielman, where it's right around just before training camp starts. We're sitting there on the perch in Mankato, and all of a sudden Linval gets paid. All of a sudden, Xavier or somebody gets fresh money. I wouldn't be surprised. Last year of his deal would be a good spot.
Yeah, right. And this is the timing of this deal reminds me a little bit of Adam Thielen, young player who looks to be improving, and you want to get that deal before he becomes incredibly expensive.
Right,
Thielen right now. If they had to give Thielen a new deal right now, it would be awfully rich.
All right,
and it would probably be double the deal that Thielen signed for.
Now,
so I just think the timing is really important, and you might want to gamble on a guy like Hunter getting better and signing him for, you know, potentially half as much today as he would cost at this time next year if he rolls out a 14-sack season,
right,
which he might do.
No doubt. So, I mean, in addressing elephants in the room, okay, 62, having it be an offensive lineman that you like and you can use now, yes. Absolutely.
I think you have to do that.
I don't think you have to do anything, because the last time they had to do something, they took Laquon Treadwell, and it was a freaking L. Okay, so if it all adds up, excellent.
No, but you said...
See, let me finish, please. It helps now, and it helps what's coming up, the right offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
But as the elephants in the room go, we mentioned Hunter, Stephon Diggs, also set to be an unrestricted free agent. So does that give receiver more merit in that spot? Trey Waynes, I believe they'll bring him back. Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle. You know, does that give that three technique situation more merit? So that's why 62 is very compelling.
If the front office and Rob Brzezinski have already figured out that the Cousins deal is going to cost us Anthony Barr or Stephon Diggs.
And there's Barr.
And they know with a fair degree of confidence,
right,
they're not going to be able to re-sign those guys, then yes, those positions to me are in play.
Right.
You know, if they are, and they're paid to compensate, they're paid to plan out 2 and 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. So they should have a pretty good idea about what Diggs is going to cost and whether or not they can sign him. And if they already know they can't, then you got to start thinking about receiver now so that kid that you draft is ready to go next year.
Tibbs?
In a similar way, you brought up Danny Isadora. What do we know? Is there anything we like about Jahlil Johnson? I mean, the fourth-round pick at that defensive tackle spot, you lose Tom Johnson, Shamar Stephens, so we knew that those were in favor
right,
in that defensive line situation a year ago. Future of B-Rob is in question, it sounds like. So what do we like about Jahlil Johnson?
And Tashaun Bower,
the raw Daniil Hunter type, the athlete that needs to add skill and technique to it.
Great question. But again, off Jahlil Johnson, fourth-round pick last year, if the right defensive tackle three technique is available at 62 and you love him, you got to take him.
There it is.
If he trumps what you like at offensive line. So from 13-3, with the way the team is constructed, and the general manager joins 20 minutes from now. I have been and am absolutely in the camp that you do not have to look at a pick and say, we have to have an offensive lineman, so we have to take him here. Specifically with your primo picks, 30, 62, and round three.
You know, I think nobody's suggesting the Vikings should draft a guy that doesn't grade out. If I'm saying, if all things are even, and you've got, you know, many players who grade out at pick 62 as appropriate for pick 62,
yeah,
for the love of God, take an offensive lineman, because that's where we need help.
Feasting into the final hour, Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, 2-0 minutes from now.
It's the Friday Feast, where at some point Charge will introduce a topic and PA will pretend to be interested. It's 9 to noon on The Fan.
Elephants in the room. Nordo's guy, Anthony Barr.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the books for $12 million this year.
Woo!
As his fifth year in the National Football League. $12 million. Unrestricted next year, unless the Vikings sign him. I like Anthony. I'd really, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'm not trying to be Foge Fazio or Mike Zimmer here.
Yeah.
And they know more about it than I'll ever know. But wouldn't we like to see more pass rushing out of Anthony Barr? Like I'm not saying one of those Von Miller outside 3-4 guys who are unbelievably good as pass rushers, but like somewhere in between that and who he is now. Like more designs for Anthony Barr to be a pass rushing linebacker who, other than the hit on Aaron Rodgers at US Bank Stadium, gets home a little more frequently, you know? I mean, like, when you're thinking about potential next deals for Anthony, what goes into big spot, big money deals, you know, for a guy who, quite honestly, does not sack the quarterback frequently?
And I thought he would do more coming out of college because he was lethal in college in that regard, Paul. And when you think of the so much of the Mike Zimmer schemes, where he oftentimes does use linebackers at the line of scrimmage, and sometimes, deceptively, sometimes he asks those guys to rush, sometimes he doesn't. And, boy, he's got the speed to absolutely murder right tackles in particular that don't have the footwork and the speed. That should be a huge mismatch for him. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I would like to see Barr unleashed a little more. I'd like to see him get to quarterbacks more often. He should, I want to say he's a good tackler, but we've seen him miss some tackles, but yeah, there's, Paul, there's, I'd like to see more of that. I think it's a fair assessment to say, you know, why haven't we seen more disruption in backfields from Anthony
with
Barr?
With all the work Paul Lambert puts into the draft, yeah, with all of the work Sauce puts into the draft, you know, I'm surprised with this text I just received from him saying, I have draft shows tonight and tomorrow. Can you guys start throwing out names at 62 in the third round so I can splash on Twitter? We can help you. Names at 62 for the Vikings. Do we have any names?
Yes.
That we can tie to 62? Birchie, you're the co-host. Go ahead.
We talked about one just moments ago, last segment. Yeah. Orlando Brown, I think, is a possibility at 62.
I like that.
I'll give you another offensive lineman that most 99% of listeners do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Martinez Rankin. He's from Mississippi State. He played left tackle there. He projects as somebody who could play tackle, guard, or even center.
Okay.
Where he's got history of all three positions.
Yep.
And I went back this morning and just brushed up on video of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good player, Paul. I watched all of his snaps against Georgia, which is a high caliber, high quality opponent.
Yeah.
And he was fantastic. He's good against the run in the pass. He's got good enough footwork to stay at left tackle, but I could see him easily projecting to right. He could go inside to guard because he's big enough to do it. Martinez Rankin is, a name nobody knows, but I think the flexibility would be appealing.
Yeah.
And schematically might be a fit here because he does have good footwork and can have good speed.
I like the way you're operating. Dibs?
For me, I would look at an O-lineman if you're going to stay. Again, as I mentioned last segment, something that I'm interested in is Rick being aggressive and making sure he gets his guy.
Yeah.
As we navigate through Hernandez. It's a scheme. Connor Williams. There's ifs, ands, or buts and unsures with him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get a guy that we are sure about. But if we stay at 62,
yep.
And maybe an Austin Corbett's a guy who I really like, if he was there, that's a possibility. But I don't think he will be.
I don't either.
Tyrell Crosby from Oregon is a name.
Tyrell Crosby.
Tyrell Crosby.
Yeah. Is it a name or is there actually something, Sauce? I mean, you can tell me about him.
I can just tell you that at 6'5", 310 pounds, he moves incredibly quickly.
Okay.
I think that he's a guy that you could plug in as a rotational player very quickly.
All right.
And that, again, staying at 62, not a guy that lights my world on fire, but it's a name I'm paying attention to here this evening.
Yes, Tyrell Crosby did not give up a sack in college.
Oh, my
he's
God.
One of those guys, and known as a nasty mean streak guy.
Yeah.
We know Zimmer likes that.
Tony Sperano.
And Tony Sperano likes that. They like their linemen to have a mean streak. So I think there's a little something there with this Tyrell Crosby.
There very well could be. And 62, who knows? Sooner or later, it's going to be right up on us. This 62 is problematic for me, not getting an offensive lineman at 30, because for my money, this happens to be where three of my favorite wide receivers. Right around this spot is where they're going to be drafted. And their names are Michael Gallup from Colorado State, James Washington from Oklahoma State, who, when I watch cut-ups of him, reminds me of former Badgers wide receiver and Dolphin Chris Chambers. Mm. And I like this Okie State guy who used to catch passes from Mason Rudolph. And Anthony Miller, a wide receiver I've been talking about on these airwaves for a month and change.
Yep.
From
Do you
Memphis.
Think Anthony Miller is a slot-only receiver?
Yes, I believe he is. He's mostly slot.
Yep.
Some drops concern me, but we are looking at rounds 2, 3, and 4 for teams with picks.
Yep.
But Miller, extremely good on special teams. I think he can help there. And, you know, the Vikings also signed Kendall Wright, the former Titan and Bear. And I don't think Kendall's the greatest thing in the world. You know, he with all due respect, never lived up to his first-round status when he was selected by Tennessee. But, you know, Kendall Wright can give you every bit as much, if not more, than what Jarius Wright gave you.
Mm-hmm.
So I might need to pull back a little bit on, like, my inside-specific take on that territory with Anthony Miller. But Michael Gallup from Colorado State and James Washington from Oklahoma State, those guys give you Stephon Diggs insurance. And this needs to be a common thread through the early part of this draft. The cliched elephant in the room, the deals that are up next year, players who contribute, and how you replace them with quality players in the 2018 draft.
Now, if you had the choice, though, okay, let's skip the Stephon Diggs insurance. For just a second, would you rather have a wide receiver, whether it's Gallup or Washington, or would you like to dagger a pass-catching tight end? Now, I don't have 10 names in front of me, so I'm not trying to say anybody in particular. But
yeah.
If you had to choose, because that's where the Rick's going to be at for the next couple of days. You make the Mike Hughes pick. Now there will be decisions and prioritization. So would you rather have a wide receiver, Stephon Diggs insurance or otherwise, or a nice second pass-catching tight end to flank with Rudolph?
Here's the announcer's take on that. I felt last year, from an overall pass-catching tight end standpoint, rounds 1 through 6, it was as good, honestly, as I've ever seen.
Hmm.
This year, I think I like Hayden Hurst. In fact, I like him quite a bit. I don't love Dallas Goedert, but I certainly think there's a significant place for him in the NFL. And round three-ish is Dallas Goedert territory. For my money, when it comes to the type of tight end I believe this offensive coordinator covets here, I believe you can get that tight end on Saturday. So rounds 4, 5, 6, or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, nah, I'm not tight end at 62. I'm pretty much fill the spot of one of these potential free agents you're going to lose at 62, or take the right offensive lineman, Orlando Brown, Austin Corbett, the big guy you brought up, whomever it is, take him there, and it helps you now, and it helps you later.
Now, my other quick twitch question to that, back to Stephon Diggs for a second. This is a guy that can be explosive, incredibly talented statistically, in this offense, while the eight touchdowns are nice, he does jump in and out of games. He has little nagging injury bits. Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. Yep. I think
that lag him a little bit. How expensive are we anticipating that Stephon's going to be? I mean, he's on the list, and all that money's coming together at one time.
Yeah.
But you still, I mean, there would be those that would say, but this, but that,
yeah,
when you talk about extending him or a fresh contract.
He had ATDs last year, and I love how he played. And by the way, he was on the right side of the miracle. So anytime, anytime you put your palms to the sky and you're on the right side of that, I kind of want you around because of your karma.
I want him around too, yeah.
But I'm willing to give him 20 million guaranteed simply because he was on the right side.
He'd make that as a free agent.
You think so?
I think he'd make 20 million guaranteed as a free agent.
See, now this thing's starting to get, and it's your fault for multiple reasons. I mean, you started begging for Kirk Cousins in December. Okay, well, it worked. And we did upgrade at the quarterback spot. Ain't no doubt about that. But 84 million guaranteed. Okay, Waynes is on the books for 9 next year. That's probably budgeted in, so let's say he's back. But because of your new guy, I mean, look at all these names we're talking about with these whatever zillions guaranteed.
It's your fault, Charles.
It's your fault.
I think we will lose.
Could have just gone with Sam and that knee and been fine.
We'll lose one guy, and only one. Compared to what it would have cost us to keep, say, some combination of Sam, Teddy, and Case, it will cost us one of these guys. Yeah. I hope it's not Diggs.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a really good receiver. Most receivers take several years of grooming before they're really hitting their stride.
Yeah.
And you know, Diggs is like the perfect age. Everything's coming together.
Yeah.
He's awfully good.
I would
work awfully hard.
Yeah.
To try. I'll sacrifice elsewhere.
Yeah, you found him in the fifth round. You freaking found him, believed in him off a ruptured spleen.
Yeah.
And you're getting paid for it.
Yes.
If I had to choose, it might be Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Odd man out. You're talking odd man out?
If there was an odd man out, I love Anthony Barr.
You better tell me with whom you're replacing him, because...
Well, there you go. It's an issue.
I mean, if we're talking about elephants in
a
room...
Well, we don't have a replacement for Diggs either.
But there's a rhino in the room when it comes to linebacker depth. So, like, you hit with your worst-case hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
What if Riley Reiff, Pat Elflein, and the rest of the offensive line goes down? What's going to happen to us? It feels like 4-12.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the linebacker bit. I mean, if Kendricks or Barr had the audacity to miss 5 consecutive games in a very violent physical game because of injury, look at that deal.
Elijah Lee.
I mean, look what's behind that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now all of a sudden... A 62. What about best linebacker available? I hope you're happy. You begged for Cousins. You got $84 million guaranteed. Now somebody's going to get hurt, and we're using Elijah Lee.
Well, we got him for 2018, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But a year from now, that would be the conversation you have to have. And I just think, you know, and I heard it from Ben Lieber, who was talking about it a bit, you know, the pass rush and what you're able to do with that front four, I think can dictate what you need out of your linebackers. I love Eric Kendricks. He would be the one out of those two that I'm glad that we extended. And I love Anthony Barr too. But I think that, you know, Mike Hughes is not Trey Waynes if he leaves insurance. It's Mac Alexander can't be trusted and Terrence Newman is 40 years old insurance is how I look at Mike Hughes. So if it was an odd man out, I might have to say Anthony, and that sucks.
Great take, Tom Olivadotti. Justin Reed is a safety from Stanford. I think that has some merit at 62. I mean, I don't think it has all in merit, and we are starting to load up on this defense a little bit, which, by the way, the defense is already really good. But, you know, we have 7 first-round picks defensively and 2 offensively, and that's how it will finish into the 2019 season because the fan has learned the first round's over. So...
Breaking news.
You know, those are just some happenstance names. I absolutely don't expect any names from our next guest, General Manager of the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Spielman. But there are plenty of scenarios about which we can chat with the GM. Rick Spielman joins us next.
You're listening to PA in Charge. It's a Friday football feast, 9 to noon on The Fan.
the 2018 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Mike Hughes, defensive back, University of Central Florida.
Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, per usual, nice enough to join 9 to noon the day after the first round, and here he is. Rick, Paul Allen, Paul Charchian, how are you, my friend?
Good. Getting ready to go for tonight. It'll be another exciting day.
What was the sleeping situation for you last night? Did you, like, stare at a ceiling fan, or were you super ramped up after pick 30 and, like, you couldn't get to sleep till 4, or what?
No, I got home about 1 last night, so it was a pretty long night, so got some good rest, and in here now and looking at options and, you know, kind of going through different scenarios that will happen tonight through the next 2 rounds, and just excited to get this going today as well.
There's a problem. Can we address it right now?
Yep.
For the first time in the history of the radio show, my producer has your cell phone number, and I'm worried he's going to be texting you tonight and all weekend with players he wants you to take. So if you see some weird 655 number come through, then just please, please don't hold it against me, okay?
And don't take whoever he texts, correct?
Do the opposite.
In fairness to my producer, when we started doing some bit called Pickle at Nickel, talking about corners a month and change ago, he was bullish on Mike Hughes. Clearly you were too. What led you to the Central Florida corner?
Well, we spent a lot of time with him at the Combine. We spent time with him. He was here on the top 30. We had a pretty good group down there to work him out at his pro day. Did a lot of research on him, you know, down at University of Central Florida, and then also, you know, at Nebraska, talking to his former coaching staff there. So when we looked at our draft board, you know, we're not going to just take a player for need. We're going to follow our board. I mean, our scouts and everybody works 9 months on putting this board together, and feel very confident as we go through. That you have to take the best player available. And he was top guy on our board and good football player. Not only can he play nick, he can play corner, but he also is a pretty dynamic returner as well. So he can fill multiple positions for us.
Do you view him primarily as a slot guy, at least immediately? You've got Trey outside, you've got Xavier outside. Is he more of a slot guy for you, do you think?
No, I don't think you label him. All I want to do is get the best players in here. Mm-hmm. We're trying to put the best 90-man roster together, create as much competition as we can. It does not mean that we're not happy with the corners that we currently have at all. In fact, we're very excited about the progress of Trey Waynes and McKenzie as well, Alexander. So, but it was another opportunity to add another very good football player. And you cannot have enough cover guys in this league.
What I love about Mike Hughes is that he's got terrific ball skills. When that ball's in the air, you see him get magnetized on it, and he acts like a receiver, that he's going to go get it. And I love that. This has been, for all the great things that Mike Zimmer has done with his defense here, we haven't seen tons of interceptions. I think this is a guy that can really change that, and has the prospect of coming down and creating more turnovers than we've traditionally gotten over the past several years. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, of course I would agree with what you say. Why wouldn't I?
Well, it's a great point. Really, yes.
I would say this. I would say that when we are out, especially looking at the corner position, there are a lot of corners that are good corners in specific schemes. But you have to have some real specific traits to fit what we want to do on the defense. And ball skills are definitely a part of it. But the biggest thing is we play a lot of concepts with man zone concepts. They get a lot of one-on-one matchups,
yep,
which helps create the pass rush up front. And they have to have what I talked a little bit about last night in the press conference is the quick twitch or the quickness getting out of their transition, which means getting out of their pedal and closing to the receiver and mirroring that receiver out of his plant. And as we go and talk through all these corners in a draft, there may only be 3, 4, or at the most, may sometimes 5 that actually fit what we want from a schematic standpoint. And he definitely was one of those corners, and it was too good of an opportunity to pass up that type of skill but also what he can bring potentially as an explosive returner. Because when he does have the ball in his hands, just like you see if he had an interception return for a touchdown, he can be a dynamic returner as well that could put points on the board for you.
With his situation off the field when he was a Tar Heel, how far down the road do you go on that to, like, not only vet out that situation, which looks like it played itself out and is okay, but to truly get with the guy, you know, kind of like what you did with Dalvin last year, truly get with the guy to see who he is?
The one thing, I mean, we really try to go as deep as we can go, and we went as deep as we can go. And through the process, just like Dalvin last year, the more time you spent with the kid, the more time you know what type of person he is. And like I told last year with Dalvin, his story never changed, and it matched up with all the research that we did. And it was the same scenario here with Mike Hughes. Mm-hmm. And he got into a situation 3 years ago that I won't get into a lot of details with. But we felt very comfortable from the ownership on down that this is the right fit for the Minnesota Vikings.
Does drafting Mike Hughes change the likelihood that Terrence Newman will come back?
Absolutely not. As we will continue to keep that door open and see what happens down the road. So, like I said, in this defense, you know, if you do get a corner nicked up or a corner hurt or you lose a corner down the road, you have to have corners to step in. And the key to this whole defense is a lot of times is the play from the cornerback position. So as Coach Zimma stated and I had stated that you can never have enough of these guys that are quality.
Rick, what's it like picking at 30? I mean, it's a benefit of being 13-3, which is cool. Hopefully you do it again, you know, but the scouts and you and the staff put so much time into the draft. Then you're there a lot of the day yesterday. And then it's like 3 hours and change before you pick. What's that like?
I could put it in my daughter's terms, and my daughter is 16 years old, and she's a special needs, and she was all excited about the draft. And she, you know, my wife asked her, "Do you want to go do something?" And she said, "No, I'm ready. I'm anxious for this draft." And then first pick comes off, and she goes, "Why didn't Dad take him?" And then the second pick comes off. Yeah. "Well, why didn't Dad take him?" She don't have a concept. So third, my wife's trying to explain to her, "Well, it's going to be a while before you get picked."
Yeah.
So, and she gets all excited about watching the highlight tapes on all these guys.
That's great.
So we get to the third pick, and well, Dad didn't take him either, so I'm out of here. So she had about three picks, and she went to bed. But I'd rather pick at 32, to be honest with you, and last year was even longer because we didn't do anything on Thursday night. But it's fun to watch because you put so much time and effort into developing this board and to going through the different scenarios and to see how it unfolds actually after you've put all that time and effort and energy into developing this thing. That's what's the exciting part. And then as you get closer to your pick at 30, about 20, you start to watch what could potentially fall to you. And we had five or six names up there and watched as they continue to fall to us. And we were very, very, very fortunate that Mike Hughes fell to us at 30.
On the Friday of the draft last year, at this time, you were starting to manufacture your move up in the second round to go get Dalvin Cook. This year, as we've got a lot of questions about it this morning, about the prospect of potentially doing that, but that not having that fourth rounder feels like it really hurts the ability that you may have had to make that kind of move. How much does it impact not having that fourth rounder impact your ability to move? And do you think you might move, or do you think you're going to stay pat here based on what you know right now?
Right now, I don't know. I mean, you have to be careful because of not having the fourth rounder as of this minute. And you want to make sure you keep all those back end picks like I like to keep. I said, take swing at players. So you have to balance that out. I think it's totally different when you're trying to trade and go through that is when you're picking so low in the rounds. It may not be an appealing as a spot than when you're picking at the top. So
right.
If you're picking at the top for the fourth round on the first day, that is a golden ticket because everybody wants to come up and get the best of the rest.
Yeah.
If you're picking at the top of the second round today, that's a golden ticket as well, mm-hmm. because everybody's jockeying to get up to their guys that they covet. It's a little less appealing when you're down there in the bottom of the round because teams can still, you know, manipulate and wait till the third round and may not cost you as much. So I don't know how much activity we'll have. We'll definitely keep that option open of potentially moving up if a player, you know, does start to fall to us. But also we may stay pat. So
yeah, but
again, I can't predict anything. It just, you kind of react as things happen, to be honest with you.
I understand that. It's just, I think without the fourth rounder, if you're going to move up, it probably costs you your third rounder, and then you don't have a third or a fourth round pick, and it just seems like it makes everything a lot
harder. It makes
it
a mess. They are in a big mess.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, you're in a spot, correct me if I'm wrong here, Rick, where, I mean, you talked about it at your press conference Tuesday, 9 to noon Wednesday, where you're like, you know, it's not like you obsess with public opinion or anything, but you've always been in tune kind of with what people are saying. And, you know, you're like, everybody says we're going to take an offensive lineman at 30. And for whatever the reason, you did not. Well, now here we go, day two with rounds two and three, and we're hearing it a little more loudly. 62 has to be offensive line. 62. But from your standpoint, it might be offensive line, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that spot, right?
No, and if there's an offensive lineman that we don't have developed to the third or fourth round that is left, and I have another position that we may need that's there or graded higher on a board, you never want to reach just to fill a need. That's when you make your mistakes. And like I said, we're very tailored. Like some of these offensive linemen, I think, are going to be very good offensive linemen in the league. But are they going to fit the scheme that we run? Are they going to fit and check all the boxes from the toughness, the passion, the smarts, all the things that we look for? So, you know, we really narrow down the potential of guys that we think are going to come in and have success because we want to take those guys that everybody is in agreement with, coaches, personnel, that fit everything that we're looking for, so they have the best chance for success if they do end up a Minnesota Viking.
A special guest listening to us, listening to the interview, is going to help us put a wrap on it. Special guest, 3-2-1.
Time for two more.
Thank you, Bobby. Bob Hagen on hold.
Did
listening.
You just wake him up?
No.
He sound like you woke him up out of bed.
He's listening to it on the phone right now. We got, for the first time ever, we got a time for two more on the phone with the GM. Such a loosey-goosey organization. That's why I love it. Charchko.
I want to touch on your three quarterbacks from last year. Teddy goes to the Jets. They ended up spending a first-round pick at quarterback. Sam ends up going to the Cardinals. They spent a first-round pick at quarterback. With Case, the Denver did not go quarterback, but a lot of people think they might go as early as the top of the second round with Mason Rudolph. How much of a luxury is it, Rick, to just be settled at the quarterback position and not have to sweat trying to turn this draft into a quarterback?
Well, that's the toughest position to fill,
yeah.
And it's the probably the position that puts the most pressure not only on the player but on the organization as well. And every team is going to take a shot at trying to fill that franchise quarterback need. And there's very few and far between in that area. So you try to do the best you can in whatever your organization and your personnel staff and your coaching staff thinks to fill that. I thought we were very fortunate last year to have all three of those guys on the same roster. It's definitely going to help in next year's draft with the compensatory pick.
Yeah, for sure, yes.
But, you know, that's why I think the biggest thing we were able to do to hopefully solidify that, and I believe we have, is to go out and sign Kirk Cousins.
That's it. Cousins costs a lot of money. Some of the intangibles that you get by having Cousins is you don't have to dedicate any part of this draft to solving your quarterback. And, you know, that's, you know, you can't put a dollar amount on that, but that's part of what you got with the Kirk Cousins signing.
Yeah, definitely. And it gives us a lot of flexibility as we go through this to, you know, stick to what our philosophy is to try to take the best player available on the board and not force a player just to fill a need if he doesn't fit.
You last one. You're the general manager, and you get final call on these picks. But a lot goes into what goes into these picks. Now, in knowing the head coach as well as you, and kind of we do, he likes to tease, and like during the course of the first round.
No, really?
Does he like, because you're full of anxiety up to the pick? I would imagine. But does he like tease you along the way and go like, you know, funny, Dave and Brian didn't need him. Funny, Darrell Edmonds probably didn't need him.
No, what it's funny is I said, Zim, I said, you can screw up on Sunday. You get an opportunity to fix it next Sunday. I said, I get one shot at this a year. And I said, let's see how you handle it when the owners are sitting right next to you on the sideline and you're trying to make some pretty important decisions. I think we'll all come down there and stand next to you during the game. See how that goes.
Oh, that's spectacular. Thank you. Great luck tonight. And best of luck over the weekend. Thanks as usual for the time, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate Bye, Rick. You. Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings. Final segment of today's Day After Round One Feast next.
You're listening to PA in Charge. It's a Friday football feast, 9 to noon on The Fan.
Ain't nothing I can say. Nothing I can do. I feel so bad. Yeah, I feel so blue.
I got to. So you okay right now? 11:40.
Honestly, dragging a little bit after a long.
Oh no, not bad. No, you during the Warner Stallion weekend whip around, you had a minor meltdown. What was with the Ricky Rubio related meltdown?
You know how I feel about Rubio. You know that I'm very, very bitter about the trade.
Are you still bitter that he's not here?
Yes. I'm not over it yet.
I didn't realize James Naismith held grudges.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't get many things right when it comes to basketball.
Yeah.
I'm convinced I got this right.
Okay.
That was a bad deal. We traded on a guy who was an ascending player who I think would have. His ball distribution and better defense would have been very, very helpful to this team.
Okay.
We didn't need him. He's gone to Utah. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the only reason the Jazz are where they are today is because of him, but he has had a great first round of the playoffs, and that is indisputable.
If anybody can properly comment on ball distribution,
it's me.
It's you.
I always
That's
love
true.
That one.
Okay, so in closing on this, then, you must be really mad at the head coach, Tom Thibodeau, because it's like Teague has been good for this team. Rubio's been really good for that team. Ain't no doubt about it. So, honestly, you know, since I guess I'm cliched bridge, water under the bridge guy, I'm cool, and I'm happy Ricky is succeeding in Utah because I like Ricky, and I think Quinn Snyder's doing a great job with him.
Mm-hmm.
However, it appears from afar that the head coach was never really bullish on the way the Spanish kid played.
Agreed.
So it's kind of like a line drawn in the sand here, where if the head coach isn't going to really want him on the team, then he probably has to go. So would be frustrated with the head coach formulating that perceived opinion.
The irony to all of that is Rubio really started this great second half last year under Thibodeau. I mean, we really saw his game dramatically improve, and I really thought he was he was finally becoming the player we had always wanted him to be outside of like clutch scoring.
Yeah.
And in every other regard, I thought Thibodeau was really good for Ricky's game.
Okay.
And I think it would continue to be good for his game. Now, my assumption is that Thibodeau wanted him out and that the front office acquiesced to that because Tibbs gets what he wants mostly. And, but I don't know that for a fact. I'm just frustrated the way it went down. Teague has not been a disaster. I'm not even making this about Teague.
Okay.
I'm making this about Ricky.
Yeah.
And that we gave up on a player who we'd invested so much work and time into.
I understand.
Who was still young and was getting tangibly better.
Okay, a couple of quick football takes, then we're going to play something back from last night because it aired at 10:45, and a fair amount of people listening now did not hear it. Martavis Bryant, of the Steelers receiver.
Right.
Had a very good game against the Vikings week 2, 2017. Mm-hmm. He was traded to John Gruden last night.
He was. Bryant has been he was viewed as sort of an all-or-nothing boomer-bust candidate, had a variety of off-the-field issues that the Steelers are willing to work through, but he never turned into a consistent performer at all.
Yeah.
And even when, in instances when Antonio Brown is out, misses a game, he wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
When they desperately needed him, he still wasn't there. Deep ball speed guy.
Yeah.
Now he goes to Oakland. I'm a little bit surprised that Gruden's decided to roll the dice on him, and I'm really surprised the Steelers got a third rounder for him, because I couldn't even tell you with confidence that he would have made the team.
There is steam all over the place now from the National Football League heavyweights. The Patriots are trading with San Francisco for offensive tackle Trent Brown.
Yeah.
And with McGlinchey being drafted,
that's why they could do it.
He bookends Joe Staley. Pretty nice offensive line for your guy, Jimmy G.
For sure.
But I hope Shanahan cuts Belichick a deal. I mean, seriously, what Belichick did for the Niners, Garoppolo for a second round pick?
Yeah, that's freaking fleecing.
Are you kidding me?
It really was.
So that's transpiring. And speaking of head coaches, Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, was nice enough to call the fan and the KFAN Vikings draft party show last night. And we started talking about corners and Mike Hughes.
How are you?
Skull Vikes.
Yeah, you got another toy in Mike Hughes, and you know what? I don't know how much you heard of the conversation Ben Lieber, Paul Charchian, and I were having before you joined. So I'm just going to begin there. Is you got a first round corner? Okay, Xavier is one of the best in the game. Trey Waynes has improved every single year, and with his fifth year option coming up, being $9 million or whatever, feels like Trey's going to be on the team for a while. So with this pick of Mike Hughes, now it's like, hey, McKenzie, we just took a corner in the first round. Maybe this will push McKenzie. And overall, what kind of player do you think you got in Mike Hughes?
Well, first of all, Paul, I don't think that we did it to push McKenzie or anything else. This is one of the better corners in the draft. One of our beliefs is that you can never have too many corners. And obviously, we'll look at him inside. We'll look to play him outside as well. But this guy is a tremendous punt returner, tremendous kick returner. We felt like he was the best in the draft at that position. And he's got the skill set that we're looking for, the acceleration out of the cuts, the toughness, the ball, being able to go find the ball in the air. And really, the acceleration from point A to point B is one of the big things we look for. He's a good press corner. He's a good off player. And with the way the NFL is nowadays, you have to have pass rushers and you have to have guys that can cover.
Is there any concern with the 2 years at junior college and the only one year at Central Florida that he's just a little bit inexperienced?
No, because he played at North Carolina before that, and was a good player there. And he played great at UCF. So we felt really good about him.
What jumped off the film for me, Coach, was Mike Hughes. He feels like he owns the ball when it's in the air, and he makes great adjustments, and his ball skills, I think, are fantastic. This is your defense has been very successful in a lot of ways, but hasn't always generated a lot of interceptions. Do you think he can help you in that area in particular?
Well, we hope so. You know, the first job of the corner is to... The way we look at it, I know everybody wants interceptions, and I do too, but the number one thing we're trying to do is deny their guy the ball. And, we look at that a lot more than we do turnovers, because you get five interceptions a year, but you might get 40 chances to deny the player that you're covering the ball. So, that's the number one most important thing, and if we get interceptions, we're all for it.
You know, a little bit of the draft strategy, if you wouldn't mind, just sort of the inside. I think everybody was thinking offensive line. That's where the biggest need and the biggest hole for this football team. At what point in time, if that was really the motivation in the draft, did you guys feel like, all right, these guys have had a run on offensive line, we got to start looking elsewhere and we got to look at Mike Hughes?
Well, Ben, as you go through the draft process, you come up with a strategy of where you want to go. A lot of times it changes based on where guys were picked, who was picked before that, and then there's certain positions obviously that you're looking at. We felt like we needed to add some more players in the back end of the defense, and some other spots, and quite honestly, there's some good depth in some of the other positions as we move forward into the draft. So, you know, it does change a lot based on, you know, when you're picking at 30, it changes a lot based on who gets picked and where they get picked. But, you know, Mike Hughes is not a fallback player. He's a guy that we really liked all the way through. And, you know, typically when you think you're going to get to a spot or, you know, let's say pick 30, you're going to have five or six guys there that you really like, and then you determine which one you want out of those that cluster.
Just Mike, just overall, how difficult is it operating from 30? Obviously, you'd like to be 30, 31, preferably 32 for the rest of your life, but operating at 30, that truly is difficult watching everything happen in front of you, right?
Yeah, it's kind of boring for most of the draft, to be honest with you, because you're sitting back waiting to see what happens with guys. And you know, quite honestly, I want to be picking 32nd every year if we can.
You'd mentioned that Mike Hughes is a talented returner. Does he walk in? Do you expect that he walks in as your opening day kick returner? And then you've had great, you know, punt return, a great punt returner, Marcus Sherrills, for years. Super reliable, makes great decisions. What about where do you think Hughes fits in as a punt return guy as well?
Well, I think he's a good punt return. A good punt returner as well, but you know, starting off, I'm sure that he'll come in, he'll be the kickoff returner, and then he'll fight Marcus for the punt return job.
Mike, congratulations on Mike Hughes from Central Florida. Get some rest and come back tomorrow at 62 and continue to fortify the NFC North champions. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, Paul, we've got a lot more work to do in this draft, so we're going to keep looking for good players.
What does that mean? Like, what position, and can you give us names?
I can give you positions and names, but I'm not going to.
Can I just have one position for Friday or Saturday so we can get excited?
Yeah, let's see.
Punter.
Probably everyone but the corner.
You're the best, man. Thank you very much for coming on the radio show.
It's official. Speaking of corners, Mike Hughes plays corner for Central Florida. His coach last year was Scott Frost. And at the Dallas draft, our buddy Wobby caught up with Scott Frost for several minutes talking about a bunch of things. But 30 seconds of it involved our new guy.
Tell us a little bit about Mike Hughes, what Vikings fans might not know about him.
He's a great guy. I mean, he came to work every single day that we had him. He was a pro about it, did things the way he was supposed to do. They might not know we didn't get him until about a week and a half before the first game. So he really had to learn our scheme fast and was able to pick it up and do that. And probably wasn't as good a shape to begin the season as he could have been in. But pretty remarkable what he did considering how late we got him.
Mike Zimmer likes tough guys. Is he a tough guy?
Yeah, he's not one of the corners that just wants to cover. He'll come up and hit you too. He can do a lot of things for a football team.
That is Scott Frost, coach of Central Florida. He coached Mike Hughes last year. 10 seconds, final thoughts. Go ahead.
Fully on board with the selection that they made yesterday, Paul. Now let's turn our attention to offensive line and let's fill the needs that we have there.
Great job last night. Better job today. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
I'm Paul Allen from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. That's the Friday Football Feast. Time for the producer, Eric Nordquist, to put a wrap on the shot. On the shot.
Thanks to the Paddy Wagon, 61st and Nicollet, for sponsoring
Chargy.
The 9 to Noon show. Raps, no ball gag references today, Charge.
Hey!
9 to Noon congregation, sit down in your pews and listen to this reading from the book of Mike Hughes, sitting in Zimmer's classroom, the real DBU. Just look at Dion and Xavier if you need to.
Hey!
Friday feast here in studio, PA chat and football. Charge, obsessed with Rubio, thinks we would have beaten Houston with the Spanish kid. He's an elite NBA mind, just ask him. But I digress, it's back to the draft. Round 2 and 3 tonight, perfect the craft. Coverage starts with PA around 6:30. Sauce and I at 8 when we get down and dirty. Oh, yeah.
Layoffs.
Good times.
Easy credit rip-offs.
Good times.
If it's good news or money, leave a message.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.